Hi, I'm Dave DeWitt. Today I want to talk about a movement called expressive individualism. A Google search of March 19, 2024 says, quote, expressive individualism is a self-focused emphasis on personal happiness and self-actualization, as well as a claim that the internal self is the true self. Gospel Coalition adds these results of expressive individualism. Marriage is about your soulmate, completing who you are, making you happy. Friendship is an avenue for mutual self-fulfillment. Churches are dispensers of religious goods and services. Their point is that marriage, friendship, and religion are only valuable if they serve you. Although it's become a worldview, expressive individualism is not something new. The idea was probably first illustrated in Shakespeare's Hamlet, written somewhere between 1599 and 1601. He said, "To thine own self be true." Individualism is a term coined by French aristocrat and politician philosopher Alex de Tocqueville, who died in 1859. Expressive individualism is a phrase introduced by American sociologist Robert Bella in his book Habits of the Heart. Today it's become a movement which says to find your purpose for life, you must search your inner feelings. That's how one will be truly happy, which is the ultimate goal. The heart wants what the heart wants. Expressive individualism is abundantly poured out for us on social media. Social media has provided not only a platform for expressive individualism, but a financial basis for it. A friend of my daughter's recently posted on Facebook something where she said that I thought was interesting. Put yourself first before everything else. She received many encouraging comments like, way to go, so proud of you. You be you. Expressive individualism says when we discover who we are, say LGBTQ or something, we should express what we find to the world. Expressive individuals believe people should not only accept but praise you for finding your individualism. It demands tolerance of everything. Oh, wait, except for biblical Christianity. What about the Bible and the individual? There's some truth in individualism. The Bible primarily focuses on the individual. In a sense, the Bible is a record of the people who God had individual encounters with. In the Bible, we read about Adam, Noah, Job, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Deborah, Samson's mother, Samuel's mother, David, Elijah, Elisha, Ezekiel, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah. Even among the apostles, we focus on Peter and John and later Paul. Many names can be added to this list, but there's two that reveal the addition of a collective commitment. When we come to Abraham, we learn that God, for the first time in history, added a collective commitment to his individual commitment. It's usually called the Abrahamic covenant. God added a genealogical commitment then to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, people we now call the Jews. When we come to Moses, we learn that God made that genealogical commitment into a national commitment in Exodus 20. That national commitment to Israel was in place from the law given to Moses on Mount Sinai until the death of Christ, according to Romans 10:4. When we come to the apostles, we learn that the death of Christ was followed almost immediately by the beginning of the church age, also known as the age of grace in Ephesians 3:2-9. During this church grace age, God's collective commitment to Israel was set aside until after he removes the church from the earth, the event spoken of in John 14, 1-3, 1 Thessalonians 4, what we usually call the rapture. At that point, the church will be over and God will once again reinstate his collective commitment to Israel. Where we live now in this church grace age, everyone must relate to God individually, including the Jews. But there's a collective corollary that we must recognize. Although God has no collective commitment to the church as an institution, our individual commitment to God requires a fellowship commitment to one another. We're responsible to love one another, stimulate one another to good deeds individually and in our assemblies. So during this age, God's commitment is to us, the individual believer. But two things are true. How we treat one another depends on our relationship with God, and our relationship with God depends on how we treat one another. In Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." On these two commands depend the whole law and the prophets. In 1 John 4:20, it says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother who he has seen cannot love God who he's not seen." In Philippians 2:3-4, Paul wrote, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others." What's the Bible say about expressive individualism? Probably the best way to think about expressive individualism is by going back to the phrase in Shakespeare's Hamlet, "To thine own self be true." It's a satanic strategy, but it's not a new one. Satan's method for getting Adam and Eve to obey God was not to tell them to focus on him, but to focus on their own well-being by thinking about their own self-interest apart from God. Genesis 3:4-6 reads, "The serpent said to the woman, 'For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate and gave to her husband with her, and he ate." There are six things in the Bible that the Bible says about this idea of expressive individualism. First of all, our goal is to know God, not express our individualism. John 17:3, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ who you sent." Hosea 6:6, "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Romans 10:2, "For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." The second thing is, expressing our individualism is a formula for disappointment and disaster. Solomon, possibly the wisest, richest man in the ancient Near East, tried expressive individualism, and he had the wealth he needed to succeed. His conclusion was, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind." Asaph was envious of those who are successful in pursuing abundance. Then he wrote in Psalm 73:17, "It was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end." Jesus told a parable about a man with so much wealth he decided to build bigger barns to hold it all. In Luke 12:20, he said, "But God says to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you've prepared?'" Number three, the problem with expressive individualism of our heart is our heart's desire is deceitful, sick, and corrupt. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart's more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? In Psalm 14:1-3, it says they are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They've all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There's no one who does good, not even one. Paul quoted this in Romans 3. In Matthew 15:9, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, slanders. Number four, we cannot focus on expressing our individualism and follow Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 9:23-24, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Number five, we cannot focus on expressing our individualism and follow the leading of the Spirit. Romans 8:13, for if you're living according to the flesh, you must die, but if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the flesh, you'll live. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Number six, it's God not expressing our individualism that gives us the desires of our heart. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Proverbs 3:5-7, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. In conclusion, expressive individualism dates back to the Garden of Eden, when the devil convinced Eve that God was keeping her from expressing her individualism. The devil told her, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The devil's message to Eve included the idea that God is keeping you from expressing your individualism. We are, of course, individuals. We cannot escape our autonomy. We're born, live, die, and are judged by God as individuals. The Hall of Fame of the Faithful in Hebrews 11 is a list of individuals. It's not only appropriate but essential that we ask, how can I be the best that I can be? The real question, then, is not should I pursue my best individual best, but how should I do that? The Bible disagrees with the rest of the world. The world says to look inside yourself and follow your desires. The Bible says to look outside yourself and deny your desires. The world says you should do what the devil told Eve to do, express yourself apart from God. Bible says you should express yourself by knowing God and keeping his commandments. The world says, as the girl noted above, to put yourself first before everything else. The Bible says you should conform yourself to the image of Christ. The world says your bodily desires are good because they express who you are, LGBTQ or whatever. The Bible says we are wretched people who need to be set free from the body of death. The ambition of the expressive individual is to be their own God, in opposition to the God of the Bible. Expressive individualism is a worldview which promotes self-worship, which makes it a form of idolatry. Thank you for listening. A longer paper on this subject with the footnotes for the quotes is available on our website, relationalconcepts.org.